You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Raven Tierney, Sal Licata back on the Fan, down with the King topic of the day. It is Marcus Stroman, BT, arriving today in Tampa and addressing the media and definitively said he will not pitch out of the bullpen. He is a starter. That's what he is. That's who he's been. He plans on being a starter. And, you know, they talked about maybe having to work itself out here because the Yankees right now have six starters on paper. They're not going with a six-man rotation. Stroman appears to be the odd man out, and he won't be pitching out of the bullpen, at least according to what he had to say today.
I know it seems like it's very pressing because he just said this morning, and we'll see what Cashman says, as you've said a few times here today. I'm very curious what Brian says, but I don't want to overstate this. Not that I feel any differently now at 12:02 that I did at 10:02, because you can't say that because you're a player and there's rules and that's it. I understand his predicament. I understand that, you know, he's trying to fortify his future, and if he's not throwing 140 innings or at least in a position to do that, he's not getting $18 million next year. Understood. I respect that. You got to protect what you can protect while you're still good enough to do it. But imagine, you know, I don't know, let's say it's Tyrod Taylor and, you know, the Jets draft a quarterback and they battle it out in spring. And during OTAs, I know Tyrod would never do this, but just for effect here, Tyrod says, hey, I'm a starter, even though he's not. He hasn't been a starter for years. I'm not backing up. There's no way. I'm not going to be a backup this year. I'm a starter. I mean, that would be an untenable situation. Now, he's not wired the way Stroman is, and it's not exactly apples to apples, but it's really the point is still transferable. Fundamentally, I will always have an issue with a professional athlete who gets paid to do a job based on where the manager or coaches tell them to play. And, you know, when you're that brazen to do that this morning and say, I'm not doing X, Y, and Z, I got a problem with it.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
And I think that this stems from a contract or mistake that Brian Cashman made signing Marcus Stroman to the contract, you know, before last season. I didn't like the idea of Stroman. He pitched well for them in the first half of last year. But now you have that $18 million. And the reason why it's a bad contract is because it's preventing the Yankees from doing something else that could be more useful than this $18 million. Now, think about what Cashman has done here. And this led to a good conversation. We got into it. We got heated. So check it out on the free Odyssey app. Back to start the show at 10 a.m. There are many layers to it. Stroman and what he said, I don't have a major problem with it because I think he's a starter. And then how the Yankees are in this situation and how they operate with the new restrictions in their own budget. So Brian Cashman went out and signed Carlos Rodon to be a number two starter. He wasn't that. He had to go sign Marcus Stroman a year ago to be another piece of the starting rotation. You're paying $18 million a year for him for 2 years. And then you go out there and get Max Fried to bring in your rotation. A lot on top of Gerrit Cole. There's a lot of money in that starting rotation. Rodon's not what you thought he was going to be. And now Marcus Stroman, for at least 1 year, you have $18 million where they could use that money elsewhere. If they were the old Yankees, just paying him to move on, be no problem, or keeping him here and whatever with him and going to get a third baseman, no big deal. But because they're wasting this $18 million on Stroman, it's a problem, BT, in that they can't go get maybe the third baseman that they would have wanted.
Yeah, but see, the difference is, and I don't disagree with that part. You know, that's why I said, you know, listen, find a trade partner, move on, and eat what you got to eat, and get Arenado here before somebody else does. Obviously, Boston's going to be out of the even though Bregman's going to play second base for them, the Yankees need to find a third baseman that can catch the ball. And because there's going to be a lot of action with a lot of ground balls, as we've all said many times, just based on the repertoire of their lefty pitchers down and in, you're going to just bang those balls into the ground. You can't have DJ LeMahieu there, I don't think. And I don't really, and I like Cabrera, but I don't want Cabrera playing there, you know, five times a week. So they've got to resolve that. But the difference is, you know, why I'm not bothered by what you just, you're not factually wrong, but I'm not bothered by it. The stuff with Hicks, like they were still running him out there. They were still forcing him down our throats. It was so clear that Aaron Hicks had disintegrated, whether it was the New York spotlight, yep, whether it was an erosion of skill, or both. And yet they're almost taking us for dummies. Like
Josh Donaldson.
I was going to go to Donaldson.
That was a bad one because he was making a lot more than Hicks. You know,
he was.
Hicks was on a team-friendly contract. He just wasn't performing.
Yeah.
Donaldson, remember, they were like, oh, no, he's going to be good. He's going to be good. That was a bad one.
They kept going back to the Donaldson. Well, they were very adamant about that. And our eyes told us better, or at least differently. You know, same with DJ LeMahieu.
Yeah.
He's still on the roster, even though he's not making massive money. They're still going to try to force him in there a little bit this spring. So those things bother me more than Stroman. While I acknowledge that his presence and the contract is limiting what they can do at third base right now, they're not going to run Stroman out there because, you know, and again, we can debate and we can yell, and we definitely did, as Sal said, free on us. Yep, it was a wild first segment. It was awesome. You know, we disagree a little bit on Rodon. Like Gerrit Cole, Louis Seal, Clark Schmidt, I mean, Max Fried and Rodon, those five are clearly discernibly better than Marcus Stroman. If they were trying to wedge Stroman in there because of the money, I would have a much different reaction.
Yeah, and we'll see how usually these things work themselves out. And with all that being said, they're paying Stroman $18 million. That's not going away. I still value having an extra starting pitcher because something will inevitably go wrong, whether it's with Cole or Rodon. And obviously, knock on wood, you want to have health for everybody. But, I mean, that's just the way it is. In baseball, starting pitchers don't make – five guys aren't making 30 starts, so you like to have an extra arm. And why not a veteran in Marcus Stroman? To the caller's point before, and I thought it was an excellent one. I forget his name off the top of my head, but a caller called and was talking about Stroman being better this year potentially because the Yankees have a better defense behind him. I think it's a great point, and that's true too. So if you need a spot starter for a couple of weeks, whatever it may be, Stroman could fill the void of in that rotation. You're paying him anyway. And I think there's some value there as opposed to who? Carlos Carrasco that's going to pull up from the minor leagues and have him make a start. I don't think it gets there. I think the Yankees eventually figure out a way to move on from Stroman.
Yeah,
but
so
to me, there's some value there where maybe they think to tinker with something else. I don't know about Clark Schmidt or Heel moving them to the bullpen. I'm not saying that that's a great idea either, but the Yankees put themselves in this spot and they got to figure out a way out of it, a clean way out of it. But one thing is certain, Stroman's getting $18 million and he is not pitching out of the bullpen for the Yankees.
But you got to make sure it doesn't get $18 million next year. That's the other thing that you're battling here, and that's really the genesis of all this. And
what is it, 140 innings?
140 is going to vest, is going to trigger.
He threw 154 this past year with the Yanks. He won't come close to that, obviously.
No, not here, and it's obviously going to interfere with another team's willingness to trade for him. Because if you trade for him as a starter, even though you're not going to pay $18 million, the Yankees will probably knock that freight in half. But if you're getting him, let's say the Pirates are like, oh, yeah, he could be our fourth starter, or maybe we could be a wild card team, whatever it might be, fifth starter, whatever, for one of those middling teams, the Reds, whomever it might be, they're not going to want to trot him out there for 170 innings and then have to pay him $18 million in 2026. So there's a lot here, and I know we'll get back to the calls. It's been a really good show. It's an interesting topic. BT and Sal, obviously, here on The Fan. And I forget the caller's name who brought up the point about the better defense, and I know you just referenced that. Yeah, there is definitely something to that because he's, I would say, 84 percentile in terms of ground ball rate. But you tell me, when you have an ERA in June of 5.13, in July of 5.50, in August of 4.96, and September of 8.80, is that all because Rizzo and Torres aren't picking balls? Come on.
No.
He just got lit up, man.
It'll help, but Stroman was not very good in the second half for the second straight year. But right now, it is a problem, and it is the story in spring training for both sides, the Mets and the Yankees. This is obviously the top story. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Joe was on Staten Island. What's up, Joe?
Hey, you know, I agree with Sal for once. The Stroman was a bad deal. Even before he got to the Yankees with the deplorable defense last year, his ERA at the stadium, he can't pitch in the Bronx. It's like a 6 ERA at home. So you're paying $18 million a year for a guy that you have to pitch on the road.
Or I don't think you have to pitch him at all. That's even more enticing to me at this point. He's not going to pitch.
And you know, last year, think about it. When Torres was lackadaisical throwing the ball to first base on a double play, he showed him up.
I remember
Judge
that.
Judge had to speak to him.
Yep.
Judge had to speak to him. He's not the right guy for the Yankees.
Right, and he never was, and that's the point, Joe. You know this. I didn't land. Thank you for the call. I did not like it at the time. I thought Stroman with the Mets was a good pitcher, and then he started to show that personality that could be, I don't know, difficult, maybe the wrong word, controversial on social media, whatever it is that he gets into, all that stuff. And then I heard a bunch of things behind the scenes that just none of them were favorable to Stroman. And if I'm hearing that, I don't know how the Yankees didn't get wind of that. Now, to be fair, that wasn't the issue with Stroman last year.
No, not at all.
He was great. No issues on social media. Good teammate, although he did show up, Gleyber Torres, to the caller's point there, to Joe's point. So that did happen. And there are little things like that that may irk some of the teammates, sure. But I don't think those are the issues. The issue has more been performance and that the Yankees have others that are better than him in the starting rotation. Still doesn't mean it's a good contract, though. It's a bad contract, and they're on the hook for $18 million. And it's preventing them from making the team better elsewhere, whether it be at third base or just a depth piece. You could much better use that $18 million than just lighting it on fire, giving it to Marcus Stroman.
By the way, remember last year, opening day, he's like, no, I'm good. Remember he didn't pitch opening day?
Yeah, yeah.
That was Cortez who took the baseball. Now he said he wanted to stay in routine. Okay, I didn't like that, and I said so in real time.
But that's Marcus Stroman. I mean, that's what you're getting with him.
Yeah, now it was okay. It was passable because he was certainly viable that first half without Gerrit Cole. And the Yankees pitching, I mean, before Clark Schmidt got hurt, I think Clark Schmidt was going to be an all-star. Like, their rotation was very good without Gerrit Cole, and he was a big part of it.
He healed the first half of the year. We referenced this, like 85 Dwight Gooden, the way that he started out his season. He was that good.
He was terrific.
In the Cy Young conversation. So they had a lot of that going early on. But Marcus Stroman right now, and that's why I'm saying, like, it's easy to say, now, yeah, just get rid of him. But think about the impact, the trickle-down effect that contract given out 2 years ago where you didn't need Marcus Stroman.
But I can't change that now. So my focus is to make sure that the trickle-down effect doesn't impact tomorrow, because yesterday already happened.
Tim is calling from Staten Island. What's up, Tim?
Hey, Timmy.
Hey, guys. Big fan of the show.
Thank you.
I'm the idiot that called before Game 5 of the World Series and told you that we were going to go to the moon. So, fact check, we in fact did not go to the moon.
That's okay.
It happens.
Real quick, you're talking about Rodon. First of all, he's the best three starter in the league. Sal, you're right. He is not worth the money we paid him. But, like, for the construct of the roster, he has a chance to lead the league. Sorry, my kid's going crazy.
Okay. Go ahead.
He has a chance to lead the league in wins. And I just have a question about Heal. Like, I feel like he's kind of like how Cortez was. Cortez's first year, he was great the first half of the year, fell off the back half of the year, and then was terrible years 2 and 3. Heal is not a guarantee.
No, he's not
he
a guarantee.
Very much like that.
He's not a guarantee, Tim, and thank you for the call.
Thanks, bud.
We do appreciate you checking in. But forget Cortez. He's got the upside to be nasty. He was one of the best pitchers in the game for the first half of last year. I think there's a build-up process here. Heal coming off an injury, the year before. There's got to be a build-up. So you knew there was going to be a little bit of wear and tear and wear down toward the end of the year. Mm-hmm. The issue with him is strikes. Can he throw strikes? I do agree, though, that you can't. At least I'm not just penciling him in, nor am I doing the same with Clark Schmidt for automatic, like, stud guys, top of the rotation guys.
Yeah, it's a little early. I can understand that.
But in this rotation, they're 4 and 5.
Yeah, but I think you got to understand the conversation now. We can go to, and forget about the Mets, we can go to every team in baseball
right, and
have this conversation. See, about their third or fourth or fifth guy, well, where this guy's coming off Tommy John, he used to be the ace, and where is he now? And, well, the Braves lost Max Fried, what are they doing? And, there's just a lot of ways to position this, and I think that when you just objectively stating, you look at last year's performance, age, outside of Cole last year, injury history, and performance, and you mix it up in one big blender, the Yankees pitching is incredibly appealing. Doesn't mean something can't go wrong, but to me, on paper, going into spring training, it's loaded, their rotation.
Outside of the Dodgers, and that's what I'm saying, like, you're nitpicking with Heal. He's not a guarantee, but he's their fourth starter. So same thing, Clark Schmidt, like, yeah, all right, is there a guarantee? No, but he's their fifth starter. Give me a 4-5 with the upside outside of the Dodgers that Luis Heal and Clark Schmidt have. So that's why the Yankees are in a great spot. Mike is in Hackensack. What's up, Mike? What's up, Mike? All right. Ed is in Marlboro. What's up, Ed?
Hey, how you doing today?
Good.
What's up, Eddie?
Good. I'm not talking about the Yankees because I'm a Mets fan. They shouldn't even pay Stroman, whatever. But I am a Giant fan. And I want to know, are they going to sign a guy that's already playing?
I think they're going to trade for Stafford. I'm telling you. I think they're going to really try to get Matthew Stafford.
I agree with you. I was just going to say that. I think that's a great, you know, if they get a quarterback, who to learn from but Stafford? He's got, what, 15 years in the league?
Well, they're not going to get Stafford and draft a quarterback. That, to me, would be stupid.
Well, I think Stafford only has 2 years left.
No, yes, I know that, but why would you go get Stafford now if you loved one of the quarterbacks? Assuming, I'm not talking about taking a quarterback at any point in the draft. I'm talking about taking a top quarterback. Mm-hmm.
I agree with you, by the way.
Yeah, I'm not taking a top quarterback either. If I'm the third pick, I'm picking the best athlete available. Yeah.
Well, especially if you get, and thank you for the call, Ed, especially if you get Matthew Stafford. I still need to see it to believe it. I think Stafford ends up with the Rams. I don't know what percentage I would have on that. We had this conversation earlier in the week. It was a fun one to have. I think Stafford, you and I are in agreement there, BT, think he'd be the perfect fit and immediately elevate this Giants team to respectability, credibility, and potentially a playoff team, depending on what other moves they make. But, and in that scenario, you're talking about paying Stafford to come here and using that third pick on the best player that they deem available. And if you hit, I think you could do well. And then also maybe bring in somebody else in free agency. So there's ways, if you get Matthew Stafford, to build the Giants into a playoff team. I'm not buying it yet. I know that they kind of said their goodbyes to Los Angeles. Until I see it, I think Stafford still is going to be a Ram at the end of the day.
I don't, and I think Cooper Kupp is, I know he's already basically gone. I said this out the other day. I mean, listen, can you imagine, all right, week one, Giants, here's Stafford. Thomas is healthy, at least for now. The O-line's better than it's been, you know, with Thomas playing, that it's been really probably in about 10 years or so. You got Malik Nabers, you got Cooper Kupp, you know, you got Theo Johnson, you got Stafford, you know, suddenly you got a young running back who's cheap and good. Listen, the thing that's most interesting from the Giants' perspective is, and I agree with you, Sal, if they, even though you don't think it's going to be Stafford, but if they were to get Stafford, you're not taking a quarterback number three. There's no way you're doing that.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
What I would do, and I would be very... Now, it's all subjective. I don't know how they view those secondary quarterback prospects. I'm not talking about Cam and Shador. I'm talking about the other ones, right? If they like some of those players but don't like them enough to draft them top 10, could you go from number 3 to number whatever and then maybe take a quarterback in the latest 20s, kind of like the Ravens did with Lamar, and now the expectation changes where there's no doubt at Stafford's show, but because you took him in round one, you've got the extra year, the fifth-year option. Like, I think the Giants have... Now, you gotta make the right call, but I think the Giants have a lot of cards because they could get a great player at number 3 that's not a quarterback. They can trade for Stafford. They can trade down. I wouldn't trade up. I don't think anybody's worth trade up. That's the only thing I wouldn't do. They could even trade from 3 to 7, get what they get with that trade, and then trade from 7 to 19 and get more.
Yeah, you're saying if you get Stafford, so you don't have to worry about forcing the issue with a quarterback on number 3. I still don't think I'd take a quarterback in the first. Now, it all depends on really what they love. But if they love a quarterback enough to take him in the first round, then I don't see the point of going out there and giving Stafford $40-something million. I think you got to either say, okay, we don't love any quarterback in this draft. We believe the best chance, not only this year, but next year as well, thinking 2 years out, at the very least, is Matthew Stafford. Let's build the foundation. Let's get back to respectability, build a credible football team. We'll always look to see who that quarterback can be, but we don't love anybody in this particular draft. Take the best player at number 3. Now you're starting to build out that roster a little bit more. And again, I don't know all the finances, how that's going to work out 3, 4, 5 years from now. But eventually, if you build that foundation, try to win now with Stafford, then you're going to take your quarterback. Maybe next year you take one and have him learn under him. But I don't think you could take one now with the idea of Stafford for 2 years in mind before you go to that first-round quarterback, theoretically.
Okay, so I think they're going to really go full bore for Stafford. You don't think the Rams are going to let him go? We'll see eventually what the answer is. If it's not Stafford, do you think the Giants will be inclined to, and I'll use the word seriously pursue a Darnold or a Fields or Kirk Cousins or somebody?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so do I. So that's a problem. And that's why I would not have brought back Shane and Dable.
Yeah, but it's a problem if...
Because they're trying to win next year.
Yeah, well, I get it, which is why maybe... Well, that's why we're in the scenario of they're looking for the best quarterback available. In your scenario here, when we're talking about Stafford, he's available.
He's so much better than the other guys.
That's what I'm saying. But he's the best one by far.
No question.
Okay, but what are the other options? Let's say Stafford goes back to the Rams.
Yep.
Now what?
For the Giants?
Yeah, you either take whoever you think is the best of that bunch,
yep,
or you force potentially forced to pick. It all, like, I can't answer because I don't know what the Giants are thinking. If they love Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward, figure it out. Figure it out. Go get them. There's got to be a way where you could trade up to go get the number one pick with the Titans. Now, that's only if you love either of those two.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't, then we're back to the, okay, well, you need a quarterback. There's no Matthew Stafford. You don't love one of the top guys. Are you going to force the issue with one of the top guys if they're available at number three? Are you going to go out there and take a
overpay
chance on
Darnold or somebody like that?
Or Field?
I think they'd probably be motivated to do that because, listen, if this regime walks away without a quarterback at three, think about this, Sal.
Yeah.
If they don't draft the quarterback, or one or two if they move up, if they don't draft the quarterback in the first round, and they don't get, like, either Darnold or Cousins, I don't know, Cousins, or Fields, I mean, the fans are going to revolt then. Yeah. What the hell's going on?
Well, that's why, again, this is, I know we can't keep going back, but we're here because of the mistakes that were made yesterday or a year ago. It's why I said definitively they need to take a quarterback now. That's what I was saying last year, and they didn't, and here we are. I mean, they're selling 10% of the team. Maybe you want to hire somebody that has a clue. I could be available as an advisor here. And you're telling me nobody in the building could figure it out that they needed a quarterback? They screwed up. I mean, I'm on record as saying it, real time, not hindsight. I told you how bad Daniel Jones was. I told you you needed a quarterback. You didn't take one, and now look at it.
But what if they would have listened to you when you said that Jones was a top 10 quarterback?
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Back if they were paying you as a consultant.
Yeah, I don't remember saying that.
Also, yeah,
that, I think Spike made me say that. BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808. I still, even with saying that, I still said they need to take a quarterback. BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-1019 is the number to call.
Close your eyes, make a wish, and blow out the candlelight.
BT and Sal back on the Fan on this Valentine's Day, 2025.
There's a good song right here.
Yeah, I like this one.
It's a good one.
888-808-1019. We'll do our power rankings. Or no, I shouldn't say power rankings. We're going to power up. I don't like power rankings. We'll power up with our top five love movies or rom-coms, whatever you want to call it, love story
romantic
movies.
Romantic comedy,
yeah. I mean, I don't know if I would fit. Maybe I like one that's not a rom-com.
Mm-hmm.
Or all love stories rom-coms? Like,
no,
okay, that's what I'm saying.
Not. No
so,
way.
So
also,
our,
it could be just some
it could
sort
be whatever
of,
movie, but there's a love story in it, whatever.
I got you.
Our five.
So can I take, how about if I said Star Wars? Because Han Solo and Princess Leia were hooking up.
That works for me, but that's not a rom-com. Sure, that works for you. There you go. So we'll do that coming up at 1:20. All right, BT and Sal on the Fan. By the way, I didn't bring this up yesterday, and I forgot. I'm mad at you because you didn't remind me.
Oh.
But you did bring in some hardware, some new hardware yesterday.
I did.
You have it here today?
I do.
BT, congratulations,
well,
I guess, for an order.
No, that's not why. I brought it in,
no,
man.
I mean,
just brought it to show you guys.
I know, but I was thinking of it yesterday, and then I got home, and I made a note of it because I forgot to bring it up yesterday. Hop, did you see this? The new hardware? BT's got his
gorgeous.
His championship ring. Too bad you didn't have it for Booney. You could have showed it off to him what a ring looks like.
Yeah, it's been a while. Oh, man. This thing, you know what's crazy, too? I left it in the studio last night.
Did
I forgot it as I was packing
what
up. Yeah.
What do you do with these rings? You lost the Yankees?
Oh, that's true.
A year ago, and now this one?
That's a good call. Yeah, I don't know what it is with rings. Maybe I wasn't meant to have a ring on.
So here's my...
No, not that ring,
happy Valentine's Day. So you got this ring because what? The team that you coach,
we won our USABL championship. We won the spring. No, we wouldn't get it. Like, listen, I don't even know why you bring this up. Nobody cares, but... like they do fall seasons and there's baseball during the summer, which we do, but the spring season's the main one. So
right, okay, but they presented the team presented.
We
the
bought
coaches.
Them. No, the coaches okay. brought them now, for the kids.
But then how did you get some? So when they order them for the kids, it's like oh, the
one
coaches.
Of the gentlemen who I coach with who's great, Mike, actually ordered them for us as well.
Okay, now this is what I wanted to ask because it looks legit. It feels.
Yeah.
Like, what are we looking at cost wise for that?
Probably 100.
Okay, all right, that's not that.
I mean,
bad.
It's heavy. It's obviously not real diamonds, or real rubies.
Yeah, no, I know, but still, it looks nice. It looks like a real ring, and it feels heavy. It doesn't look cheap at all.
Not at all.
So then, the next question is: okay, if I put myself back into being a kid,
yes,
like I think it would be cool, even now at 45, because mm-hmm. there's still some things I have when I was a kid, whether it's my gloves or whatever, some memorabilia,
yeah, me
some
too.
Trophies. I think it'd probably be cool if I had a ring. That I could remember a championship team that I played on.
Oh, my God. It'd be awesome.
But don't you think... So the same part of me, if I transport back to being a kid, I kind of get it. And it's cool for Colt and the kids or whatever.
Yeah.
But don't you think like we're getting out of control with this stuff? Like the emulating the big league stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like championship rings for the entire staff. The music, the walk-up music, the chains. I'm not trying to take away the fun.
I got you.
You know what I'm saying?
I think that there's some elements of truth there. I think some of the parents are out of their mind. Not parents I'm with. I mean, honestly, I'm not just saying that. Like, our parents, thank God our parents are amazing, both club and travel. I think there's some parents who are so crazy that it's so skewed because, let's face it, you get drafted, you make a lot of money.
Right.
Let's face it, basically none of these kids are going to get drafted. I won't say zero, but almost none.
Right.
You know, to me, the goal should be, if the kid wants it, college. I think anything beyond college, if you have a child that's got talent and you want to feed into this, I think it's a beautiful thing. My problem is, and I remember seeing this, like, you know, Jen's from Dallas, a lot of her friends, and they're great athletes out there, but every weekend, and I'm not taking shots, but every weekend I see kids with rings. Every weekend,
yeah,
ring,
right.
ring, ring, ring.
For
ring.
Every little...
Well, it's a tournament. It's not little because there's some good players out there for sure.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, so every, like.
But this was for a season accomplishment. You got to understand,
too,
Sal.
I know you're not. I'm just saying, in general,
yeah,
the emulating of the pros has gotten to a point. The gear, the bats, the music, the
okay,
song. Like,
okay, is it that different? Now, again, I'm not saying you're fully wrong. Yeah. Now, just the ring that you referenced. We finished, again, nobody cares, I know, right, but just across the bridge and get there. The previous 2 years, we lost in the championship game, right? So, and we went from, I think we were 1-9 our first year.
No second place rings?
No, okay. Not with my team. There's zero. There's pat on the ass and say we got to work harder is what there was. Honestly. We had one win the first year when they were 7 and my son was 6. And then we started winning and we got better and we lost. Then we won, all right? And we wanted some symbolism there. Now, I do think that, yeah, whether it's some of the walk-up music or the 9 chains, and my son wears chains too. The chains and the gear, the shin guards, the elbow. What are we doing?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I don't disagree, but is it that different? Like when I was a kid, all right? I don't know if you knew this.
Cheap trophies when I was a kid and plaques.
Yeah, they were cheap, and they're up in my parents' attic. Right, but they were presented nicely in my room. They meant a lot to me. I never got a ring once. I got a college ring for graduating, for winning baseball because we didn't win much.
I don't even think I got a high school ring.
I got a high school ring. I don't know where it is. I still have my college ring. I actually wore the college ring when I was Brother Love. That was one of the rings I threw on. I swear to God. But I think that I think as long as there's balance, like if it's about collecting rings, you're in it for the wrong reason. If getting a ring and earning a ring is a byproduct of doing it the right way, I think it's awesome. I think too many times it gets twisted. I'm not saying I'm perfect. I'm not saying the way we run it is perfect, but I think we've got a pretty good grip on what's right and what's wrong.
Well, either way, congratulations.
Thank you, sir. And you've seen my team play.
Specifically,
you came out to support us this year.
I learned a lot about
you
this.
You came out to watch us.
Yeah. It's a new world for me. I haven't seen that in quite some time.
How's the demeanor by your partner at third base?
I told you. We talked about it at the time. You were stealing some calls from the ump with your overly aggressive.
Aggressive. I'm into it. Where was that, Blue?
BT.
Let him know. Just stern voice.
And then he gives you the next pitch.
Yep.
BT and Sal. It was something to behold, I'll tell you that. BT and Sal, all the fail. Let's get back to the calls. Ryan is calling from Oakdale. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. Love the show. I wanted to get to something that you guys were talking about before, the guy who called about the Giants. We were talking about the whole Stroman thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think the shame on the Yankees front office, not – I think they've done a good pivot since Soto, but I don't even know why they I don't know why they went looking to sign Stroman when they know this guy's is a small stature guy. He's getting up there. I think he's 33 now. He's getting up there in age, declining velo. I don't really understand why they signed him, and now that they were trying to trade him and that it got out there and they didn't get it done.
Yeah.
I don't blame Stroman. I know Stroman has a strong personality and got some fire to him. There really hasn't been too many issues from what I've heard of.
No, not with the Yankees.
I don't blame Stroman for saying that he doesn't want to be. I understand that you have to be a team player, but at the same time, the whole offseason, everyone's saying they're going to move him.
Yeah.
And they just didn't.
Ryan, what do you do for a living?
I'm a college student, actually.
What do you want? What are you studying? What do you want to do for a living?
I'm actually in sports management at Farmingdale State College.
All right, well, good for you, and I hope it really goes well. What happens, sports management, say you're working for a minor league team, you want to be a GM, I'm not sure exactly what you aspire to do or to be, but let's say you're working for a minor league team, you get some stripes, working your way up, and you start with one role, and then, midway through your tenure there, they kind of reassign you and say, hey, listen, you're going to have to do this instead. You walking out or you staying?
Well, if I'm young and I don't have too much of my foot in the door yet, then I'll abide to what they say if I want to work my way up. You know what I mean?
Now, I respect the answer. I don't think age or experience should really matter, even though I know it does impact the ability to push back. The more juice you have, the more, you can push back. But I don't think it really changes dramatically. Like, there's still a dynamic employer-employee. That's what I'm saying.
But we don't even know if he was asked yet. I can't wait to hear Brian Cashman speak today. And even if we don't get the audio from it, because we'll be on the air at 1, we'll have the quotes. Certainly, I'll be reading them on social media from the reporters who are going to be there around him. I think last I checked, he was expected to speak today. at 1 o'clock, so no question about it. He's going to respond to what Stroman said. Stroman talked about having a great conversation with Boone. They've been open about things.
Yeah.
So the common phrase between the two of them seems to be, it'll work itself out, meaning that he's probably going to go to camp, act as if he's going to be a starter, see if somebody gets hurt. If not, maybe they trade him. I think that's probably going to be the plan. But it wasn't like Cashman said or Boone said, you need to go to the bullpen, and he said no. The reporter asked the question if he would be open to it or however they got to that point, and Stroman just reiterated, I'm a starter. I'm not pitching out of the bullpen. I didn't have as much of a problem with it as you did.
No, you don't, and you didn't, but what's the difference between the two? To me, we're playing the semantics game. Whether he was asked the question or he volunteered it, what's the difference? He's still saying Yankees, he's only doing one thing.
No, if the Yankees came to him directly, and I bet you the same answer is going to take place anyway, but we're reacting to it now, assuming that he's... Like, he didn't say no to the Yankees. He told the reporter how he felt.
You don't think he's talking to the Yankees by saying that into the microphone? He's talking right to the Yankees.
Well, he's sending a message
directly.
Sure, but I don't think the Yankees went to him yet. I don't know this. Again, we know that Boone and him have communicated. We know that Boone said it's awkward. These things work themselves out. We know that Stroman said, I'm a starter. These things work themselves out. We haven't heard from Cashman yet, it's ultimately his decision to move on from Marcus Stroman, or maybe tell him, hey, maybe he comes out today and says, we wanted Stroman to be in the bullpen. We told him about that, and you heard what he had to say today. Maybe he says, I haven't talked with Marcus yet, or now I did talk with Marcus today after his comments, and we've come to this resolution. Like, I don't know,
yeah.
But it wasn't like, hey, Marcus, Brian Cashman said you're going to be going to the bullpen. What's your response to that? We don't know. We just heard Stroman show up and say that I'm a starter. I look at myself as a starter, and I don't want to pitch out of the bullpen.
All right, so before we get a break here, let me ask you this here. I want to hear your answer. So, all right, so Stroman said what he said. The Yankees have had conversation behind closed doors. Cashman meets the media in 20 minutes. But at this point, it's just about minimizing damage in terms of a story that's going to have life for 2 or 3 days and unnecessary distractions. So, and Cashman's so adept at handling the media. What should he say? What is the most effective route?
I want to hear the honesty from him. Whatever he's feeling, hey, look, we tried to trade Marcus. I don't know if he's going to go into that much detail.
I don't think you start getting there.
Well, I mean, we all know it,
but when he says it, it takes on a different life.
So then what is he going to say? Hey, look, we have 6 starters. Starters are premium. We signed Marcus for a reason.
Yep, I think that's a good answer.
Okay.
And then I'm going to follow up. Well, yeah. Okay, so there's 6 starters. Are you guys going to a 6-man rotation?
No.
Okay.
Which, by the way, may not be the worst thing.
Yeah, I know. Just play the game, though. Yeah. So, Cash, if you're not going to the 6-man rotation with 6 known starting pitchers, is it safe to assume that right now Marcus Stroman is number 6 out of 5 spots?
Right, okay, and we'll see what he says. I mean,
what do you think he should say at that point?
Well, I mean, whatever he feels, I'm assuming he's going to say yes, but here's what I would say.
Yeah.
Well, if I didn't screw up by signing Rodon a couple years ago, you know what, I wish I didn't sign Stroman to this contract.
Yeah,
yeah. I really put us in a pickle here.
Yeah, he's going to say that.
I gave Garrett Cole all this money. I gave now Max Fried all this money because I screwed up with Rodon. And then last year, really, I put us in a bad spot because I signed Stroman to 2 years. There's no chance in hell a guy who I signed to a 2-year contract with an option, there's no way he's going to throw 140 innings for us this year. So really, I screwed up. That's what I wanted to say. I made a mistake.
That's funny. You know how I would answer it? Hey, listen, I may have messed up with the Stroman contract, but I still made enough good moves. We're in the World Series. Yeah. And by the way, while he's at it, why doesn't he just air the dirty laundry? You know what? Maybe I should have given Juan Soto the suite. I want you to come clean on everything.
Yeah,
come
on, maybe
man. The best thing to do is just to say nothing today, really.
Maybe.
Even though we want him to for what we do.
And usually he does say what his
own mind. I know.
All right, we'll find out. BT and Sal on the Fan. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. BT and Sal back on the Fan on this footballless Friday, Valentine's Day. TJ Hoff on the other side of the glass, keeping it coming with the love theme songs. At 1:20, we're going to have some fun. We're looking this up, going over our research right now and getting together our top 5 love rom-coms. What do you call it? Love story movies?
Yeah, romantic comedies, yeah.
Rom-coms.
It could be unconventional, though. It could be just a true romance or something funny. Or I was messing around saying, you know, like Star Wars with Han and Princess Leia. Obviously, I wouldn't do that, but... I mean, you could stretch the boundaries however you want.
And
there, Sal.
Every time we do this, though, I feel like, now I've got 100 on my, you know, I've got nine right now. Yeah, I don't have literally 100, but I have a lot. So we got to narrow that down. We'll give you our top 5 when we power up, coming up at 1:20. I do have one issue with you, BT, before we get back to the calls.
It's like the third gripe you have with me today. What's the problem?
It's a minor issue.
Go ahead.
You've gotten me hooked on Cheez-Its.
What?
You love Cheez-Its so much so that Hoff got you Cheez-Its for Christmas.
He did.
And now there's a box of them sitting back there.
Uh-huh.
And one time I was like, I'm a little hungry. Let me sneak in. And,
they satisfy.
Okay, and then that got me into, so I took one of the baggies back there back in our office, and that got me going, like, when my wife's like, hey, on Super Bowl Sunday, hey, what snacks do you want? I'm at the supermarket. I'm like, you know what? Why don't you get a box of Cheez-Its?
Okay.
Let's go with a box of Cheez-Its. And now I'm hooked. And then last night I come home, I don't want to eat late night.
Yeah.
But we're, you know, it's Thursday night, it's late, whatever, you throw it on some TV and I want a snack, and what do I go to? The extra toasty Cheez-Its.
You and Hurley were talking about the. I'm not even in the extra toasty. I don't know about those.
You just go regular?
I know the white ones, the white cheddar.
Okay, do you like those?
Love those.
Really?
I love cheese, man. I just put cheese on everything if I could.
You prefer.
No, I don't prefer the white ones. I prefer the regular ones, but okay, the white ones are good too.
What's in your house currently? Like when Jen goes to the supermarket or when you go?
The regular ones.
Okay.
But also oil and vinegar chips. I got a soft spot for them. I had a couple last night.
Oil and
a couple
vinegar.
You know, I'm saying that right? Yeah, oil and vinegar.
Okay, I didn't know if it was salt and vinegar.
Salt and vinegar. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I knew that. Yeah.
All right, yeah.
Salt and vinegar.
Yeah, S&B. Good, salt and vinegar. Okay. So, like, we eat the whole bag or what?
I mean, it's a big bag. I didn't devour the whole bag. But, I mean, you know, listen.
I'll be honest with you. Like, I easily eat a whole bag. I don't know how somebody could just eat, like, a little bit of
No, I can't. I'm incapable of that. I can eat a little bit of anything.
Yeah.
I really can't.
I either don't eat it or eat it
I'm the same. If I eat, I'm eating. You know what I do once in a while? I will take, like, and again, I eat fairly well, so I don't really feel bad about doing this. I don't feel bad at all. Maybe my cholesterol is being impacted, but I don't, like, it's like calorically speaking, I don't think I'm, like, I think I'm fine. But I'll get, like, a kind of like a cereal bowl.
Right.
And I'll take a handful, like, I'll stick the Cheez-It box.
Yeah, yep.
Then I'll go in the pretzel bag, pretzels. Then I'll go in the white popcorn bag, popcorn. Then I'll go in the salt and vinegar bag.
Yeah.
So I have like a mixture of all crap that you just shouldn't be eating at my age.
So with Cheez-Its.
At night.
With Cheez-Its specifically.
I could bang back a 1,000 if I had to.
You eat the whole box?
In one sitting?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
Do you?
No, I mean.
One? No, dude, that's ridiculous. So
they're different size boxes.
Well, I'm talking about the Costco Monster, and I'm not talking about the little vending machine one.
I think I had at least a half last night.
A half a bag?
Yeah, right.
What'd you have for dinner?
A little turkey chili and just some lettuce. So light dinner. That was my carbs for the night.
What'd you have for lunch? Because that's what matters.
I ate protein bars throughout the course of the day.
Yeah, you see, that's fine.
Maybe a little turkey burger and salad I had yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just saying, though, but like in one sitting,
that's a lot.
I could take down
sitting.
The whole box.
I
didn't, but I could.
How many slices of pizza could you actually have?
Dude.
Like, could you throw back six? I think I could.
Yeah, I think I would say that's probably.
I'd probably eat the whole five.
It usually was a kid, two or three. Now it's like on average, four, five, six.
I just keep reaching.
Anyway,
reaching.
You got me started on these Cheez-Its.
I'm
trying to lose weight here.
Well, by the way, Hoff got you because he bought them for me.
No, that is true.
It's Hoff's fault, like everything else.
What a brilliant idea. I know.
It's your fault. Don't worry. You're good.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Back to the Marcus Stroman stuff. Although Caleb in Pennsylvania has an idea for the Yankees lineup. What's up, Caleb?
What up? I was interested in the Stroman conversation, too. I think he's a lot of things that I can't say on air, but he is, he's getting paid $18 million, and he's the sixth starter. He should just do whatever they want him to do, in my opinion. But so for the Yankees, I think the obsession with having Aaron Judge at the leadoff spot, I think is crazy. Doesn't make any sense to me. What are your takes on that?
Where are you getting that from?
I think it's idiotic. Whose obsession is this?
Yeah, I haven't even heard this.
Really? I've been seeing it everywhere. So you guys don't think he should bat leadoff?
No.
It's to me,
100% no.
To me, it's idiotic, and thank you for the call. I'd be lying to you if I said I didn't see one maybe little.
No,
thing
I saw
about
some stuff. I think Evan may have proposed that. I think
is that what it was?
I think that's a Evan thing because he believed. I think it was during the show.
Oh, now
they went through who should be leading off, and the options were Volpe,
Dominguez,
Jazz, Dominguez.
I think I heard Tiki say Jazz, right? Jazz.
I don't
Tiki?
Remember who said what, but I do remember Evan basically making the case that Judge is the best.
That makes sense. I haven't seen a lot of it. I probably just saw that headline and breezed by it. Like, I guess it was Evan.
Like, I'm not going to waste my time on this nonsense.
On.
I mean, that's pretty much what I did.
Save it for the Rico.
Judge should not be a leadoff hitter.
Otani is leadoff. Otani does.
Yeah. I mean, look what they have behind him as well.
Yeah, fair. Fair. Now, I did see a stat where last year the number three hitter, not the Judge going to hit third, but just to get a little different layer here. I want to see that I don't have it in front of me, but the three hitter had the most at bats. I mean, throughout all the major Hoff, if you know differently, Ed, when you have to, maybe Evan said this at some point, the most collective, every team in baseball, their third spot in the batting order had the most at bats by a fairly wide margin of that hitter coming up with two outs and nobody on.
Right. So you don't want that. You don't want him hitting third.
Yeah, so it obviously belies the fact that, like, okay, well, three-hitter usually should be Mattingly, George Brett, the best hitters, but no.
You and I have done a lot on the Mets lineup.
Yep.
I would like to go over what we would want from the Yankees lineup. Like, because we haven't gotten into detail with that so far.
No, not incredible detail.
So what would you, I think, I mean, it's two different things, what I would do and what I think they're going to do. I think they're going to go Dominguez leading off.
I think so, too. I'm not so sure I would do that,
now,
though.
He's going to, me neither. I would not do that. I would prefer either Jazz or even Volpe there.
I want Volpe. If Volpe's not the leadoff hitter, then he's just not the player that we thought he was going to be.
I also think in this particular, while I have become accustomed to Aaron Judge hitting in the two spot,
yep,
and do love that idea, I think in this lineup, I'd rather have Bellinger in front of Judge.
It's interesting. I'm writing some stuff. Continue.
You know what I'm saying? I'm just looking at some of the names
here. I'm not really
here.
Disagreeing with that. Go ahead.
So I don't know how they're going to work
that. Oh, my
that.
God. I have to stop you. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, what happened?
Wow.
What?
I was just writing out the lineup. Read those names on the right-hand part of the page. Ooh. Oh, my God.
Volpe, Bellinger, Soto.
I wrote down Soto. I meant to write down Judge.
Wrong part of town, buddy.
I got to cross that out. Continue. I didn't mean to interrupt you so blatantly, okay. Like, wow.
Well, you see what I'm saying?
Soto.
Like, we talk about this when we...
Damn you guys.
Yeah, as it pertains to the Mets lineup, like, it is interesting where they're going to hit Soto.
Uh-huh.
I think it's similar with the Yankees to, like, who are you using Judge to protect?
I'm going to give you my order. I've got something here.
Yeah.
Okay? I know they won't do this. I like this arrangement here. Volpe the leadoff hitter. All right? And if he can hit 260, he's going to steal 40 bases. I'm going Bellinger at the two spot.
Right.
That's what you just said. That's why I was like, okay, I feel you. You got a lefty. All right. You know, lefty obviously obstructing the view down to first base. Little tiny things, but I like it.
Last year, what was it? It was a mix of leadoff and then just obviously Soto, Judge, 2-3, and then a mix of four.
And then once Wells became the four-hitter, the order took off a little bit. Remember, the team
Verdugo
took off.
It was Verdugo at cleanup. It was Verdugo at leadoff for
Verdugo,
a little bit.
Yep, Verdugo, okay. Yep.
But basically, it was just, I mean, the only thing that mattered was Soto 2, Judge 3.
Nothing else mattered,
so,
really.
But the question is, Judge, before Soto's arrival, was the two-hitter.
Correct.
Would you move him back?
Or? I would, but they won't. I'm going to hold on to a little bit of old school baseball logic, and it actually goes against the stat that I just gave about the three hitter coming up.
So you're going Volpe,
Bellinger 2,
yeah,
Judge 3.
Yeah, I think I'm going that same thing.
Wells 4.
Yep.
I'm going to go, I want to go Jazz 5, but I'll probably go Stanton.
What about Dominguez?
I'll get to him.
Okay.
Stanton. So Volpe, Bellinger, Judge, Wells, Stanton, Jazz, Dominguez.
Wow.
Well, I forgot about Goldschmidt. Hold on. Mm. Jazz, Goldie. I mean, they really do have a good order.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven.
I've got seven there.
Third base would be
third
last,
base regardless. Is obviously in every single equation number 9. We all know that. I mean, they're not going to put Bellinger second.
I'm sorry. What'd you say there, Hoff?
I was just saying there's a good order from 2018.
No, stop it. You hater. I would actually consider BT as I look at this now. I like the idea of Volpe being leadoff. I would consider leading off Bellinger and going Judge too.
I think they could do that.
It's
not nuts.
My main thing from this Yankee lineup this year is Bellinger-Judge dynamic. I don't care who I actually like Wells behind Judge. I think it's got to be Bellinger-Judge-Wells, whether it's 1-2-3 or whether it's 2-3-4. And maybe that's why I like, okay, so let's say our lineup, we would have Volpe, Bellinger, Judge, Wells. Let's say that Boone goes with Dominguez first instead of Volpe.
Then Volpe gets down to these in the 6-7-8 spot.
But it's also kind of lengthening out the lineup there, too. If Dominguez
is the real deal.
Now, Dominguez, Bellinger, Judge, Wells, Stanton. I mean, that's.
I got a question for you.
I love Stanton, but.
No, no. And if this is a pertinent question. Of all the. I think we know the answer, but I want to ask you. Of all the players that the Yankees could possibly hit in front of Aaron Judge, which player, like Soto, and even though Soto doesn't need Judge, but he definitely benefited, what player do you think would benefit the most from Judge's presence behind him? I think it's an easy question.
Yeah, I think that's why. I think it is Bellinger.
Me too.
And that's why we would have him there.
It's Bellinger.
You got to get him back to form. If Bellinger, like we could say if Dominguez and if Volpe and if Wells, whatever.
Yeah.
If Bellinger doesn't have a big year, there's no chance their lineup is nearly as good as it was a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
You're losing Juan Soto. You need Bellinger to offset some of that, and then the rest of that lineup can make up for it. But that potent punch where pitchers in the postseason, teams are going to have a tough time navigating.
Lefty-righty, speed as well.
It's
got to
be
either
Volpe, Dominguez, and then Bellinger, Judge, Wells, and then I guess Stanton would round that out.
Now, listen, I'm not trying to be overly or foolishly optimistic. I could present to you an alternate, and I won't even do it now very long, but like an alternate universe where Bellinger is okay and not, you know, not what the Yankees need him to be, but Volpe takes a step forward, and Dominguez is the real deal, and Wells takes it. Like, that could kind of offset that, but I fundamentally do agree, and Jazz for an entire season, unlike, you know, last year when they got him for half the season when he stole 40 bases and hit 20 bombs. So
I don't think there's any question their lineup is deeper.
Oh, it, with Bellinger's good, it's not deeper.
Well, it's deeper on paper when you write it out, but we're factoring in Bellinger being good, Dominguez and Volpe being what we expect them to be. I think Wells is a safe assumption to be what he is. Volpe, Dominguez could either be, you know, if Volpe stays the same, it's not good enough.
No way.
So we're expecting him to take a next step up. And Dominguez, we have no idea what he's going to be. If it's somewhere in between where he's been when he first started to where he was a year ago, I still think that's good enough for the Yankees.
It should be. But why would you start, and I think you and I are on the same page because we said Dominguez or maybe even Bellinger first. Why would you put Dominguez, like, okay, so he's going to go from playing 8 games last year, and now you're going to put him number one?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Now,
I know you have Judge behind him, okay, but still.
Well, you would, in our theory, have Bellinger behind him.
I'm saying they'll have Judge behind him.
So they're going to go Dominguez, Judge, and then Bellinger?
Probably. Yeah, I mean, Stanton's never hitting third. Stanton, I don't think Jazz is hitting third.
And then they go Stanton behind him and Wells behind him. So you flip-flop Stanton. Yeah, that's the other
way. I think they probably would do that.
Yeah. All right, BT and Sal on the Fan. We'll come back, continue with the conversation, hopefully hear from Brian Cashman at some point this hour. Right now, and we'll have our power-up. The rom-coms will rank our top love story movies here on Valentine's Day. We'll do that at 1:20.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey's State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry. And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.